Well, today the Chicago Children's Theater announced their 2017-2018 season. So what about it? Well, this is the first season for the outstanding Chicago company with a new permanent home. The Station is a redeveloped police station in the West Loop, and it's now a place for shows, classes, exhibits, and events. The Chicago Children's Theater boasts that it's the largest professional theater company in Chicago, exclusively designed for families. In its 12th year, the company's gone from just doing theater to entrenching themselves in the community with spectacle work, events, collaborations with local schools. The company has always been top-notch. I love it. My family has been to a number of shows there. And it's only solidified its reputation when Frank Maudry came over to run community programs. He's been the community programs artistic director for a little over a year. You may recognize Frank's name. He's been at the forefront of creating community around theater for years, including his time at the now defunct Red Moon Theater. If you recall, Red Moon was one of Chicago's best theater companies. It was hired to do the big Chicago fire show on the river a few years back. But times change. The theater company is now in our memories, but Frank continues that work in his new role at Chicago Children's Theater. And it's my pleasure to welcome great Chicago artist, Frank Maudry, to the big table. Frank, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
I saw you this morning getting your hair cut on WGN Morning News.
I took advantage of the opportunity to have my hair trimmed in front of how many people watch that particular show.
Well, I think it speaks to how important the Chicago Children's Theater is that you make an announcement today that the new season is out and you got media at your place, you're on the radio. I mean, you're everywhere. Talk about the new season. How exciting is it over there to not only have new work but to have it in a new home?
Well, I think it's remarkable, actually, and Jackie Russell has worked tirelessly to find a home for the Children's Theater, and the fact that it lives in what is an old police station has tremendous symbolism and a great message of hope for young people, that anything can transform and become something that it was not originally. And again, she's put together a really lovely, special season for kids and families that includes the production A Year with Frog and Toad, which I saw some years ago, and it was perfectly beautiful and enchanting and of great integrity. Beatrix Potter Holiday Party is the next show in the season, and that's a really special toy theater work directed by Will Bishop and designed by Grace Needleman, two very special artists, followed by My Wonderful Birthday Suit, which is a world premiere, An Epic Tale of Scale, another world premiere, and Last Stop on Market Street, the third world premiere in this upcoming season. So that's incredible. And to have it all consolidated in our home, obviously, will be good for everybody.
What does that do for a company? How important is it for a theater company to have a permanent space?
Well, you know, I think it's especially important for a company to have its own home, especially a company like the Children's Theater, which is focused on creating a safe environment for children to express themselves boldly and bravely. So to have a home that we can make sure that that can happen respectfully and responsibly is really essential. But secondly, we can really build upon our creative imagination by ever evolving the tone of the building and the objects in the building and the way the space feels to really work in collaboration with the season's goals and themes.
Well, you talk about collaboration. I mean, the school, you've got a school right next to you, but the idea of a theater company surrounded by a community. I mean, how important is it for the theater company to be entrenched in a neighborhood, not necessarily on a theater row like Randolph or even, you know, some of the theaters that are along Lincoln Avenue? How important is it for you to not only have a new space, but to have it involved in a working community?
I think there's two things there, and I find it to be a particularly exciting question. One, I think the choice of that building in that neighborhood was very, very smart. Not only the history of the building itself in relationship to what it says currently to young people, but that neighborhood has a really interesting developing community, especially of little kids. You know, the number of 3 to 5 year olds in that community is enormous. It's remarkable. And the opportunity to provide them really unusual educational experiences and dynamic, challenging children's shows will participate in shaping the way they see the world and the way they participate as citizens, which really gets to the next point, which is all theaters have a responsibility to be neighbors. We all have responsibility to be good community members. Mm-hmm. Our job really is to create platforms for others to express themselves with comfort and safety and discipline. And I think, you know, what we started to do long before we entered into the West Loop was create partnerships with as many neighbors as we could and fundraise ourselves to provide them generally free programming so that we could build relationships with them and introduce them to the station and guide them to what would be a safe place for their later expression. Additionally, it's important for us to make sure that as many children from throughout the Chicago landscape surrounding suburbs feel like that's their home too. So the goal is to create a destination space that really feels like a place where young people can author not only the skill of playmaking, but their own vision as human beings, citizens, neighbors, and civic entities.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back. I want to get into that idea of civic engagement, but also, you know, what having a theater space that's designed not just for children's shows, but for classes, for camps, for events, what that does when you expose children to arts and culture like that, especially at such a young age, 3, 4, 5 years old, as you mentioned. Frank Maudry's in studio. He is the Community Programs Artistic Director for the Chicago Children's Theater. Today they announced their 2017-2018 season, which will all take place in their new home, The Station, a renovated police station at 1000 South Racine, right there, 1001? What is the 100 South Racine, right in the heart of the West Loop. Frank Maudry, my guest at the big table. Stay with us. Frank Maudry in studio tonight. He's the Community Programs Artistic Director for the Chicago Children's Theater, who announced today their 2017-2018 season. And the importance of that is that it's in their new home on the near west side, the West Loop, 101 South Racine. It's the place called The Station, a former police station. Everyone I know who goes, oh, that's a theater now? They're like, I spent a night in there. Because that used to be the police station for the United Center. So if you got too drunk at a hockey game and things didn't work out in your favor, they sent you to where you guys are doing children's theater.
We often have fathers come into the station who like to brag, I remember this place. I was here for one night. And I thought maybe someday we should have T-shirts for parents that say, I was here for a night. And then kids could have shirts that say, I was here for 2 weeks of summer camp or whatever it was. But I don't think that's right for the brand.
There's something really intriguing about the idea of transformation, especially from this building, because that whole area, when you think about the near west side of Chicago, all it has been in the last 100 years has been transformation. At one point along Union Park, and it used to be very affluent. Then you had a spell in the mid-century, 20th century, that it was the slums. I mean, it was the west side ghetto. And now you see a transformation again with the West Loop, and you see so many buildings coming up, Google, McDonald's, other places coming in, making it desirable, affluent once again. So there's something about the neighborhood. How do you fit in when you talk about transformation and taking a building like a police station and turning it into a children's theater?
I mean, there's so much there, right? The first piece is, it's true that only 20 years ago, Madison Street was what any, you know, old alcoholic or junkie might talk about being, you know, the most derelict street in the city of Chicago. And now that street is radically transformed. Now, this is in part because of its how close it is to the city of Chicago, how much Chicago is changing in general, though there are still pockets around it that suffer significantly. And hopefully those will see change as well over time and hopefully soon. But you know, the transformation of that whole neighborhood and that space is extraordinary, and it's moving quickly, right? Like Wicker mm-hmm. Park took a long time, or Logan Square took a long time, and the West Loop seems to be just like speedily moving forward in terms of affluency, but importantly, open-mindedness. So, you know, the purely affluent neighborhood may not necessarily have liberal associations or comfort with expression or wide open embrace to arts. And this neighborhood does. You know, a majority of the parents who now attend the station either for a production or for one of the classes mm-hmm. are really excited, open-minded, interesting people, and the community is representing that, right? The Merritt School of Music, mm-hmm. and Soul City Church, I think, is really extraordinary in terms of the number of people who participate there and the way that that faith operates there, and even a little place, small places like the way Snippets operates as civic engagers, or Warm Belly, which is an incredibly active
cafe
cookie shop that really is interested in seeing the neighborhood transform for all the right reasons. It's just incredibly socially conscious.
How do you come into that? I mean, when you take a building and you have a design and you say, we're going to do this, you bring an architect in and you decide to transform a police station into a theater. How much of it is the vision of the architect and the vision of the company, and how much of it, if it wants to be a center of the community or part of the community, does the community have input in?
Well, I think there's two pieces to that. One, I was not here when Jackie and the team of architects designed the space. But I know it was an extensive process, and there was a lot of labor involved in it. Just the cleaning of the debris of what was a police station, right? And that's part one. And what they did was create a great shell for the opportunity for community to come in and decide over time what it should feel and what it should look like. And I really like that balance, meaning, for instance, that, you know, when we moved in now only 4 months ago, 4.5 months ago, it has not been very long. It really was a safe, clean, comfortable building. And now as we've been building audience for productions and we've been building classes full of children and we've begun to host camps that are really successful and more, those people and their identities and their interests and their culture and their beliefs are beginning to creatively infiltrate the way the building looks and feels. And I think that's really interesting in that it provided them a platform for their own personal expression without saying, what do you think this building should look like?
Yeah.
Instead, it's a natural, often subconscious or unconscious conversation about, you know,
I can only think to the work that you've done in the past. I mean, mm-hmm. I think of Red Moon, even when you had the last space that was on, was 22nd or 23rd.
In Pilsen.
In Pilsen. You know, the industrial takeover of the warehouse that you guys took over, it was gritty. It had a feel to it, and it sort of stuck itself to Red Moon Theater, or Red Moon stuck itself to it. But the idea that the space defined or became part of the identity of the theater company.
Well, space is an informant. You know, generally, that's why set designers make sets for directors, right? Because the space defines the experience, the theme, the direction that you're going to go into in terms of what story you're telling. And a building is just a story, right? So how you enter this building is through, everyone enters through the same ramp, so that be it someone who is very capable of walking and someone on a wheelchair enter the same door. And that was principle for Jackie. And I think that's really impressive that she wanted to create a building that was truly inclusive and fought hard to make sure that, you know, everyone got to participate in the building fully without feeling like their disability would limit them from participating, mm-hmm. Including anyone can get up to the top floor through the elevator to participate in the courses and classes, so that our camps and our classrooms are full of people who are very, very different from one another, which is an essential part of the mission there, which is to bring together folks who would not normally mix to create artistic product that hopefully tells a new story about our city and about themselves.
I love it. I mean, I love the Chicago Children's Theater and the work that you've done. I've had, you know, artists on the show talking about it, but I also love the thought that goes into building a new theater and inclusivity and the things that have to go into that you wouldn't even think about when you're putting a building together, building a condo or building anything else. The idea that that's great. Frank Maudrea is the community programs artistic director for Chicago Children's Theater. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get a news break with Rob Martier. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the new season. But I really want to talk about your career as well. I mean, you, of course, with Red Moon Theater, had made an impact on this town through what you did with Spectacle, what you did with the parades in Logan Square and Humboldt Park, and even what you did downtown on the river in the Chicago Fire event. Frank Maudrea, my guest in studio, will continue the conversation. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio, Frank Maudry. He is the Community Programs Artistic Director for Chicago Children's Theater, a longtime theater artist and director. He was one of the guys behind Red Moon Theater. Red Moon Theater, and I want to talk to you about that. And a lot of people listening will know Red Moon Theater for all of the spectacle that you guys did. It went defunct, what, 2 years ago now?
It's almost 2 years, yeah.
Do you miss it?
Of course I miss it. I mean, my life happened there. I met my wife there. I met some of my best friends there. I had an enormous collaborative, creative community that I got to work with, and the privilege to create remarkable work in complicated places and difficult circumstances. And, you know, when I'm emerging back into the theater scene and preparing to direct shows and design shows, you know, I was at an event recently, 2 weeks ago. Casey Foster, the wonderful actress who works with Looking Glass often now, does dance tributes. And her dance tribute was a tribute to Mark Messing. And there were 90 performers in the show. And two things happened. One, probably 80 of them were interns at Red Moon at some point and had evolved through the Red Moon mechanism into their own performance spectacle art makers. That was really interesting. And probably 50% of the music that was played that evening from Mark's library was made for Red Moon shows in some context. And it really, as difficult as that was, interestingly, it was also incredibly inspiring and relieving to know that Red Moon had made such a impact, not only on the city and the viewers and the audience, but makers too. And I really do believe that, you know, what's happening right now is Red Moon was so fertile that it's going to grow, new artists and new things will happen, and that'll be great.
There's not a company in Chicago, and I don't want to put down anybody who's doing it because I'm sure there are, but the spectacle with a capital S, I mean,
I don't think there's anyone in the nation
that
I think
did what you guys did. Not I mean, only a lot of the works were not on a stage. They were on a street. They were a parade. There were, huge puppets. And just when we say spectacle, really spectacle. I mean, amazing stuff that was home here in Chicago. And as an artist, or anybody who knew Chicago in the 90s and 2000s, you're like, yeah, Chicago is home to Red Moon.
It's home to this kind of thing, I think. You know, I mean, times have changed in Chicago. When I entered the art scene in the late 80s, not to date myself, but it was a really, you know, the avant-garde was hot and it was popular and it was big and people were hungry for adventurous theater that was non-narrative and it was visually based and it was risky and dangerous. And that was what Chicago felt like for a long time. It's found a bit of a more mainstream trail in the past 10 or 15 years, which is totally okay. It's understandable as it evolves. But Red Moon was really born out of that and within that particular period of time that was really exciting and strange and cool.
It was very cool. I mean, I think about the spectacle, and I think it was right around Halloween that you would do the spectacle parades.
We would do the All Hallows Eve rituals.
And the amount of work that you'd have to put into that. And as someone who, you know, has been in theater and paid attention, to watch you guys do that and to watch the amount of spirit that not only came in the production and the presentation and performance, but the way that the communities responded. And it wasn't just a community of affluent white people in the North Side. It was a community that was diverse, that felt like this was normal. This is the idea that arts in Chicago and on the street, this is what this town's all about.
And, you know, I think part of that, you know, is really the result of us sharing a mission of authentically wanting people to have a platform to express themselves. And we were really excited about the clumsy, difficult, chaotic, results that came with that kind of collaboration, because it's not easy. And I don't think many people want to go into that kind of collaboration. The theater scene generally is there's a director and he tells a bunch of people what to do. And there's some people who will challenge that a bit more and say, okay, we're an ensemble. We're going to figure out this show together. Mm-hmm. But there's still generally a kind of subtle, generous tyranny at play.
And, but Red Moon was hundreds of people.
It was hundreds of people. And often nights you weren't even sure who was directing. And that wasn't unintentional. That was a part of the liquid form of this thing. It moved, you know, like a big giant snake. And when it was great, it was incredible. And when it wasn't, it wasn't.
Well, you're setting yourself up for, you know, people might remember Red Moon getting the opportunity to do the Chicago Fire Celebration, which was down on the Chicago River, big thing. Mayor Emanuel brought you guys in to do this project to essentially light fires on the river. I mean, it was an amazing thing that you guys were trying to pull off, and it didn't really work. The fires didn't light. There were crowds that I didn't even expect that many people. I remember being in the newsroom at a different place going, and they're going, is anyone covering this? I'm like, why would anyone cover this? This is going to be... It'll be okay. There were thousands of people down there.
The crowd was incredible. And you know, this story, we all write our own narrative, right? Some of us rewrite narratives to serve ourselves. Some of us write narratives to serve true history. And one thing failed that evening. The houses did not burn down. Mm-hmm. And that was a critical element, obviously. I would never argue that it wasn't. But the number of things that succeeded outside of that single element, the number of communities that we went into and made food with and for, the number of people who had the opportunity to say what they were resilient toward and how their lives could be different, the number of pieces of art that we made with young emerging artists. I mean, right. the entire event was galactic in the number of people who needed to participate, collaborate, and author the whole thing. And so its civic impact was, in my opinion, undeniable. But there was a feature that really brought it to its knees, sadly. And that's too bad that the narrative is so marred by that one.
Why do you think that is?
Piece.
I mean, I think that will be in any piece of any process that's art. At the end of the day, they're going to judge what was the outcome at the moment that the house was supposed to burn down, right? That, I mean, because you're right. There's a million things that went right that night, one thing that didn't. When you're dealing with that kind of situation as an artist, as a organizer, director, all the things that you are and have been for Red Moon and for the city, what's going through your mind?
Well, I think it was different for everybody. The core people who worked on that project. And surprisingly, even 2 years later, I don't love talking about it. But I think about it every day. And what it did for me was that it provided me an opportunity to deeply feel failure, to deeply feel regret in the moment, and powerlessness. Nothing I could have done. Now, all of us thought, like, maybe I should jump in the river and swim over there and light the house with a match. Like, we, you know, it was crazy making on some level in that way. But it also helped me understand that, and this is the most important lesson now, 2.5 years later, that you can fail epically. But if you get back up and if you work hard and if you're generous to people and if you design a mission for yourself and if you continue to be of service, this was my wife's note, the way that you will return to art successfully is by finding ways to be of service. Don't serve yourself, serve the city and serve its community members. And I think that makes sense. And that's how I've kind of evolved through the process, was to see the fact that we are remarkably resilient. And I think it's a Chicago thing. Like, I've often wondered if another company was doing this in another city, would they pick themselves up and survive? Right. Maybe not. I mean, Chicago is so well known for we roll up our sleeves, we hike up our boots, and we move.
Right. And there's an element of risk. I mean, that's one of the great things. And even pointing to the conversation we've already had tonight, when you talk about the idea of this being an avant-garde city, that people know this work, this spectacle, they expect it. And it has taken a mainstream turn. But sometimes the avant-garde doesn't go the way it's planned. It's not a Broadway musical. It's not a prepared city New Year's Eve celebration. There's some argument to say that, you know, the proper place for a Red Moon Theater Company is not on the river downtown Chicago. the proper places in Logan Square, or Humboldt Park, or in Pilsen, and the areas that you guys served and you served so well for years. Because as a fan of your company and as a fan of Chicago art, I don't at all. I remember that story, and I think there's a Schadenfreude to it in the way that it didn't work and people chuckled. But there's no lasting impact in my mind that that sullies the name Red Moon. You know what I mean?
I think that's really true, and I appreciate you saying that. As I assume many people would, because those who were close to Red Moon, the board and the core artists, it was everything to us. And we really believed and knew it could be something significant. And it was, you know, it didn't peter out. It didn't quietly go away. It really stood for what it meant to stand for. And in the end, you know, there wasn't really ultimately a model for that kind of thing, and that was okay. I think everyone's going to find their voice again because it was a dynamic group of people, and we all share one mission in common. My narrative about Red Moon was always that, you know, people would come and people would go, and the people who would go were usually people who didn't necessarily share the social mission. They were artists who wanted to author their own work or whatever it looked like, but the people who stayed were the people who had dynamic core social missions about engaging our city civically and making art that was transformative. Those people stayed through the tough stuff, but there's still the avant-garde's a funny thing, right? It sits, it rests, it haunts in the shadows. I mean, Blair Thomas has created a remarkable puppetry festival, and a majority of that work sits in the avant-garde. And there's, you know, great artists around Chicago who are still walkabout theater. A young company is really finding a way to express themselves without language and primarily through image, or a Lucky Plush. I mean, there's companies that are inviting and at the same time very courageous with their content. So it's there for sure. And, you know, it might be a little quiet now, but
I was going to say Chicago's kids get the good fortune of working with you at the Children's Theater. But what's next for you for spectacle, for adults? I mean, you just mentioned other people and other people from Red Moon, and you've talked about, you know, it's 2.5 years. Are you thinking about getting back into the game of creating and doing the things that you did before?
Well, I appreciate that question. I mean, I intentionally took this opportunity with the Children's. It was provided to me, and I was very grateful for it, and I still am, last March. So, you know, I've been in the position now for 14 or 15 months. It feels like yesterday, interestingly enough. And my endeavor then was, I'm going to build the structures for a successful revenue generating business for this company so that funds are coming in consistently and serving the institution's artistic mission. And I'm still doing that. It's going very well, and I'm really proud of the results that we have, and I'm really very proud of the team that I've constructed, and the community work that we're doing. It's really exciting. Of course, internally as an artist, I long to make ritual and I long to make puppetry, and I plan to do those things in some way, shape, or form in the future. I'm directing a show for the Actors Gymnasium that I'm really excited about. And, you know, I'm creating a few small intimate shows for an event that I'm going to do here later in the fall. And, you know, the challenge is to rightly balance my obligation to the Children's Theater, and then, you know, work in my studio. So what's exciting to me with this new life that I've been given, which it really is a chance to go back in the studio like I did when I was a young artist and tinker and break and think and play. And that's a huge gift for me because, you know, Red Moon was a big business. There wasn't a lot of time to sit and think like, what's cool. I mean, we were churning out the spectacle at a rapid rate on very few resources and a really small team. So to be back in the studio and just be playing with a mechanical thing and thinking, what could this story be over a long arc, is thrilling.
And this is a great place for us, you know, as I ask you one last question, just the concept of tinkering, playing, thinking, going into the studio. When I think about those things and the way you said it, I mean, there are lessons to be taught to children, and there's always going to be a political argument about whether or not art should be funded or art should be a federal program and otherwise, but there shouldn't be any question of how important the artistic process and arts are to a kid, to children's lives. And I think you just nailed it right there with tinkering, playing, figuring it out, brushing yourself off when something doesn't work, and learning the lessons that come with being an artist.
I think there's so much there, Justin, and part of it is, you know, we're losing a sense of play, and we have been for a long time, especially with screens, iPhones, iPads. Like, kids are losing a sense of what it means to kick a can, to play in an alley, to just be with one another in an unexpected, surprising, imaginative manner. So play becomes core to the work we need to do as citizens and human beings on Earth. That's part A. Part B is, you know, I like theater, and sometimes I love theater, but my interest isn't necessarily to ultimately train the next generation of theater makers. My interest is to take what theater provides to young people, which is voice, expression, confidence, clarity, the ability to speak, to be passionate, to present themselves well. This is what being an actor really means. Now, put that next to design, which is as equally important to me as good acting skills. Design is all about resourcefulness, creativity, imagination, breaking something, putting it back together. When you collide those two things together, what you're providing young people is a chance to become themselves more fully, to be able to step on a stage and speak about what their personal belief and mission is, represent themselves with articulation, and then be able to solve problems and think new ways about how something that was something can be something else. So in the end, we're building greater citizens. And there's no more important social mission on the planet, in my opinion, than to really be considerate of our greatest natural resource, which are our children, and to train them to be visionaries, educators, believers and thinkers of the next generation. And I think theater really, when taught well, offers all of those skills. And they can be a great actor too.
Yeah, there you go. Frank Maudry is the Community Programs Artistic Director for the Chicago Children's Theater. They just announced their 2017-2018 season at their new space, The Station, 101 South of Racine in the West Loop. They've got summer camps and classes and things. You can go to the website, Chicago Children's Theater, just Google it. Frank, of course, longtime artist, theater maker, spectacle organizer. Frank, great to talk to you. Thanks for being my guest tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.